vanuit Brussels Expo op Business AM CyberSec Europe.
Welkom hier bij Business AM van op het CyberSec Europe event. Ik ben Sophie Sonck en deze radiospecial staat in het teken van cybersecurity. Ik heb een gesprek over generative AI met Nina Schick, internationaal adviseur, auteur en wereldwijd keynote speaker rond generative AI. Ik praat met haar in het Engels. Welkom Nina.
Hi, it's great to be here.
Nina, I saw you, or at least that was my impression, in a New York Times video last weekend. Only it wasn't you. It was your generated AI double, looking like you, talking like you. But it was with your consent. You want to give a signal to the world about how close we can come to disaster if technology like this becomes misused?
Yeah, I mean, so the video that you're referring to is an AI-generated avatar of me, because one of the things that is so astonishing about generative AI is its ability to create anything, including the digital likeness of real people if it's trained on the right training data. Now, this video is part of a PSA, because first of all, it's to warn people that everything you see and hear online is not necessarily what it might appear to be. I mean, ever was it thus, but once you put AI into the equation, even more so. But the video is important because it's the first AI-generated video that's actually authenticated, meaning it's been cryptographically signed with a PKI signing solution. So you can see in the DNA of the video that this is made by AI. And it's a call to action for generative AI companies, for platforms, to start adopting this signing solution, because we understand that AI-generated content, not all of it's going to be bad. You know, much of it is going to have tremendous utility. So if you're a good actor, why not be transparent about the origins of that content? So it's not only about signing content like the video, but the second part is actually adopting the infrastructure into the architecture of the internet so that provenance or the authentication of that content can always be seen, no matter where you see it, on an email or on Twitter or on Facebook. It's an open standard that's being developed now by an organization called the C2PA. So it's about full transparency in content at a time when AI-generated content is going to inundate the information ecosystems.
You're talking a little bit about the positive things, but AI is good at creating, of course, fake media. It creates people who don't even exist. Eh? Like, well, you do exist, but still, I can spread pictures of these non-existing people, create identities, and have them spread their opinions. Why isn't this considered illegal?
Well, I think largely because this is such a new area of artificial intelligence, this so-called area of generative AI, where AI can actually create something, right? Including images of people who don't exist or clones of people who do exist, but much more than that. And it's only really been possible for the last 5 years. And it's only kind of being mass adopted from 2023, some of these models and these systems. So I think that when it comes to regulation or policy making, just way, way behind. Mm-hmm. And it's important to understand, however, when you think about regulating or making policy around AI-generated content or generative AI, that there are going to be so many use cases, many of them which are going to have tremendous utility, but many of them which are obviously nefarious, and there's some low-hanging fruit, like impersonating somebody's identity with artificial intelligence.
What is the big threat in this case?
I think one of the biggest threats is actually when it comes to information integrity itself. So this kind of digital information ecosystem, which we've built up over really the last 30 years, extremely quickly, the foundation of the internet, the social media, the kind of digital infrastructure of social media, and then the physical devices of smartphones. You know, there's 6.9 billion smartphone owners in the world today. That's almost 85% of humanity. So when you think about this ecosystem which we've built, where every individual, every nation state, every company has to exist in this ecosystem. We've already seen over the past two decades how it can be dangerous when you can't trust the information, how that has real world implications. So mis and disinformation, digital trust, these are all themes that have been consistently important. But now you put AI into the equation, mm-hmm. and you understand that AI is going to be the engine to create all digital information going forward, for good and for bad, and just going to scale the amount of information that's out there. If you can't trust, then you have a pretty big problem. So that's the existential problem in my view.
You are on a mission to make AI accessible for companies, but also for a wider audience. What's wrong with the food of the flood of jet GPTs that will storm the world like a tsunami of bot-generated data and information?
So ChatGPT is one implementation of a generative model, a so-called large language model. So what ChatGPT does is it creates or interprets text. And when it comes to the applications of generative AI, large language models is the first place I think there's going to be disruption. So the success of ChatGPT is phenomenal. It reached 100 million users in 2 months. That makes it the most popular application of all time. And hot off the heels of this success, it's being commoditized, it's being productized. Right now, the big race is kind of to build the enterprise model for ChatGPT. So everybody, every company having their own version of ChatGPT mm-hmm. that they can train with their own enterprise data to do things like marketing, sales, research within companies. Mm-hmm. So it's going to give a lot of utility to businesses. However, it is inevitable that as these technologies democratize and become more accessible and are adopted very widely, as they already are, I mean, hundreds of millions of people already interfacing with ChatGPT, that they're going to be used for nefarious purposes, or that there's going to be so much chatbot generated output that even if it is not created with a nefarious purpose in mind, mm-hmm. the amount of AI-generated text content is going to start inundating the information ecosystem. It's very important to remember that these systems are fallible. They're not truth machines. They don't always get things right. You know, they're just as good as their training data. They're kind of try to be reasoning machines, but there's going to be a lot of stuff out there that's just simply incorrect, that's generated by chatbots.
Is it okay to trust a chatbot prompting text generated by data and algorithms? Will this change the way humans think?
We absolutely cannot 100% trust a chatbot. I mean, it's so funny because just a few weeks ago, Elon Musk, you know, he signed the famous AI moratorium letter saying, oh, we should put a pause to the development of artificial intelligence. And yet now he is launching his own kind of chatbot to be a competitor to ChatGPT. And he very cynically called it TruthGPT. And this is cynical because we know that chatbots or generative AI systems are, again, they're just trained on training data. So to say that this is somehow the purveyor of truth is simply incorrect. And once people start confusing the outputs of AI-generated content with truth or reality, you're starting to play a very dangerous game when it comes to perception. So yes, they have utility. Yes, they can be very useful. But to think that all outputs generated by your favorite chatbot, whether it's made by OpenAI or Elon Musk, is simply untrue.
As humans, we are, of course, primed to want to believe something that looks and sounds right. It's a cognitive bias that you describe as a processing fluency. It's clear that the tricks pulled by AI are way smarter than the next version of Photoshop. But why do we want machines to edit and generate our media and our content? Who wants that?
Well, I guess that's a philosophical question. Why did we invent the internet? Why do we have devices that we hold into our hand that we put our entire life into, you know, our financial information, our correspondence? I think it's inevitable that humans want to kind of use technology to change the way that we live, to change the way we experience life. And it just so happens that in our lifetime, we're at this kind of tipping point or an inflection point where the technology is becoming so profound in terms of its ability, but also in terms of its adoption. So it's not only that the tech can do things that we never thought technology could do, but people are adopting it faster and faster and faster. So the culminative effect, in my view, is that the frameworks of society are being changed by this exponential tech-led change, of which AI is just the latest wave. So, I mean, why do we do it? That's a really philosophical question. But is it happening? Absolutely. And do we have to engage with it and understand the scale of what's taking place right now? Absolutely.
You just mentioned Elon Musk, of course. Tech giants will want to dominate the business of it and exploit it. How will we deal with that?
I think that's a very important question, because what you see happening right now, again, triggered by the success of ChatGPT, right, which was one implementation of one generative model developed by OpenAI, but because it was so phenomenally popular, all of the big tech players now are positioning to make generative AI a core part of their strategy. You have Microsoft versus Google and kind of the chatbot wars. I mean, Google invested $300 million into Anthropic, which is meant to be a competitor to OpenAI. OpenAI got a $10 billion investment from Microsoft following the success of ChatGPT. OpenAI's products and tools and models are already being integrated into Microsoft's kind of software and operating system. And the same is happening now with Amazon AWS. They provide the kind of cloud computing program platform. They've also just launched a generative AI platform. Meta is doing the same. They've kind of left the metaverse a bit in the dust, and they've set up a generative AI research unit. So Apple hasn't really made any big plays yet, but I am absolutely confident that Apple will be doing something in the space too, because all of the big tech giants recognize that to not own a piece of this pie, or to not own a part of the infrastructure, platforms, models that are now beginning to form around generative AI, would probably mean that their business becomes irrelevant. Mm-hmm. So there is no doubt in my mind that these players who are so phenomenally powerful, who are so well resourced, who have such deep AI research, knowledge, and expertise, are going to be able to develop products, tools, and platforms that are widely adopted within, you know, the timeline is small. You're talking about months, not even years, let alone decades. So the question, again, is a question we've already asked ourselves over the past decade. How do you deal with these entities, these private entities that are just so phenomenally powerful and influential, you know, much more than most nation states? And I think that's, again, an important question we have to ask ourselves as society.
We gaan er heel even uit nu. We zijn zo terug met Nina Schick met meer over synthetische content.
Vanuit Brussels Expo op Business AM, CyberSec Europe.